All right, light the beam. It's all over in Sacramento, 109-95. The Kings get the W. And now it's on to a tough four-game road trip. But first things first, they had to win tonight, and they did, setting up a pivotal four-game road trip. In a moment, Ryan and Sacktown, the post-game right here on If You Don't Like That.
2-1, go.
Sacramento missed you. Carter, stolen by Williams. And look at this. Oh, you don't like that. You don't like NBA basketball.
Bucks, goodbye. Oh, if you don't like that, you don't like NBA basketball. The exclamation point from De'Aaron Fox. Oh, if you don't like that, you don't like NBA basketball.
Boy, that's an ESPN highlight right there. Whoa. Collison comes in. How about this? Holy moly, Jim Bob Bowley. That is a major league smush.
All right. Ryan in Sacktown does indeed join us. And really a nice second half, as we told you, from Fox and Sabonis. They got good performances from the bench in the first half, particularly Mitchell in the second half. From Trey Lyles. What a difference having Trey Lyles back. You know, it's only been two games, but you can see how much he's meant to this team. They really missed him.
Grant, it's changed a lot. Let's see if he can keep it up. But I got to ask you, is Trey ahead of schedule for you?
Yes. Yes, he is. Yeah.
Yep. It seems like he just dropped right back into the middle of the season and was fine. So it gives them an added boost. But it wasn't only on offense tonight. Defense tonight, the Kings forced 9 turnovers, and Davion was a big reason for that. 9 turnovers between Harden and Westbrook. Huge.
Again, you had a perfect setup for this game. Clippers had been on the East Coast all week. They were in Charlotte 48 hours ago. Long flight. No Kawhi Leonard. Perfect. Perfect setup. Now, conversely, you got to do it now. You got to get on the airplane tomorrow, fly all the way to New York, and take on a Knicks team who lost tonight and did not play well. And Jalen Brunson, the reigning player of the month for March, had his worst game in a long time. He very rarely has two bad games. And we saw what happened the last time they faced Jalen Brunson and the Knicks a short, 2 weeks ago. Brunson killed them.
Slugfest.
So that's going to be one hell of a tough game.
It is going to be a tough game. And you look at the Knicks schedule, Grant, they've got the Kings and then Chicago. So this kind of looks like they're get right. So the Kings better be ready to play. But if they bring this type of team mindset, I think we're in for another big time fight in the Apple.
All right. Again, 109-95, the final tonight. And the Kings, you know, they don't shoot the ball particularly well, 42% or three. They play good enough defense. And I said this at halftime. I told you that I thought the Clippers would wilt in the second half from attrition. And I saw that. I thought that's exactly what happened. And I'm not taking anything away from the Kings because I thought the Kings defense was very good. But I thought that the Clippers just looked tired tonight.
You called it, Grant. You were all over that at halftime, and credit to the Kings for capitalizing on that. And speaking about the Kings defense, I think it was more than that. I'm not going to give the stats on all these, but Grant, these are the areas where the Kings won the game. Steals, bench points, points in the paint, fast break in transition, both offensively, defensively, turnovers, points off of turnovers, blocks. You want me to go on? That's a winning formula when you perform that way against a good Western Conference team.
And the Kings win and the Mavs lose. I still don't think the Kings are catching Dallas. I think that the more likely scenario would be New Orleans. And then you got to be careful of Phoenix because, you know, they beat New Orleans last night. They play them again. Here's the deal. You got to get through this road trip breathing and staying afloat. And then it's right there. I mean, I don't have to do the math any more than anyone else. You've got to win your next two games against New Orleans and Phoenix because they count as two in the standings.
Yeah, maybe this team has learned a little something from those Dallas losses. Maybe pressure was let out a little bit of this cooker we call Sacramento. And maybe it's just play basketball, have fun. And if they play like this, Grant, I don't think we're going to be worried about them even making the play-in. They're going to have a chance at that.
We'll see. You know, they're going to definitely be in the play-in. The question is, you know, will they win the play? And the Lakers won tonight as well, but they're not going to catch Sacramento. So, you know, the Kings are either going to finish sixth, seventh, or eighth. I mean, that's where we're going to be. They're not going to be five. They're either going to be six, seven, or eight. We all know what the difference between six is from seven and eight. I mean, it's gigantic. And
yeah,
you know, if you're seven or eight, you know, here's a scenario we haven't even talked about yet. Okay. The last thing I want to see in a one game 7-8 is Sacramento and New Orleans, especially if Brandon Ingram is back. Okay. Because the Pelicans have owned Sacramento and we haven't even talked about that scenario. That is a possibility where you could have Sacramento playing New Orleans in the play-in. That's not something I want to see if I'm Sacramento.
Definitely not. We know the troubles in this version of the Kings because you just don't have the length. And what do you think of, Grant, when you think about New Orleans? Length.
Yeah, think of their front line killed the Kings' front line and Brandon Ingram and Zion Williamson they couldn't handle. And that was even one game I think where Zion didn't even play and they still beat up on them. I don't know whether Ingram's going to be back or not for that. He should be, but again, I can't. I'm not a doctor, and I'm not with the Pelicans, but he should be. And but that would be a little bit of a scary thing. All right, so you got a good performance from the bench tonight. You got absolutely nothing in the first half from Barnes. Woke up a little bit in the second half, and you know Keon Ellis does what he does. But he's not an offensive player. So I just ask you, now you have to have Lyles playing this way. Because when you have Barnes and Ellis ineffective offensively, you've got to make up that somewhere. And tonight you got it from two guys on the bench, Lyles and Mitchell.
And you got a little bit more than you'll normally expect. This reincarnation of the Kings, you can't have two starters with the numbers that Harrison had tonight and Keon had. Now, granted, Keon was in foul trouble, and I was not so worried about his offense. I was more worried about the defense because he was playing elite guards. And when you get to the playoffs, you know they're going to hone in. And, Grant, you've said since Keon came into the scene, wait till they get a hold of some more tape.
Yep. Well, he played 22 minutes tonight and did foul out. And, you know, going up against the Knicks, we know that's going to be a physical game. And it's going to be very interesting to see how the officials call that game. Because the last time the Kings played the Knicks 2 weeks ago, the fans were all complaining after the game about the lack of whistles. And I would think that in a game like that, a lack of whistles favors the Knicks.
Certainly. Certainly, the Kings aren't a good free throw shooter or shooting team. So, but I know that doesn't play into it. But yeah, the Knicks are so much more to me. Their raw talent is much better than the Kings' raw talent as a group.
All right. I want to tell you about Bennett's and their three locations, Sacramento, Roseville, and the Westside Grill in Rockland. Prime seafood and steak at Bennett's Westside Grill. They have tremendous happy hour specials on apps and drinks, 60 different types of wine available by the glass. Don't forget about your weekend brunch as well at Bennett's. That's Bennett's Restaurants at bennettsrestaurants.com. Again, three locations, Sacramento, Roseville, and the Westside Grill in Rockland. You will love what you get at Bennett's Prime Seafood and Steaks. Kings win it 109-95. So happy that you're with us right here on the postgame. We will look forward to your phone calls, your chat messages. Keep them going. And we will get to you. Promise.
Yeah.
All right. All right. So here we go. What do you think about this? Coach always keeps the starters in long, but rather make sure they win than a run by the Clippers and their starters are cold. Well, first of all, I agree with you. I think he does leave the starters in too long. I've said that all year. I said that last year. And I think he's gotten very lucky that when his starters are in the game, when they don't need to be, no one's been injured. So I agree with you. I think they do keep the starters in too long.
Yeah, I don't have a problem with it in a game like this with the Clippers, who can make up a lot of points quickly. But I don't like it throughout the season, as you said.
Well, appreciate the folks going to Bennett's. Last Friday at Bennett's, we tried the ribs and fried chicken and the French dip. Absolutely huge portions. I am very happy that you enjoyed that. We love the fact that people are heading out to Bennett's. Tell them that you're big fans of the show as well when you go up there. All right, so 109-95, the Kings get the victory, and they pick up a game on the Mavericks, who lost tonight in Golden State against the Warriors. The red hot Mavericks finally lost a game.
Well, they kind of they got the short end of the stick. That was the makeup game for when Golden State's coach passed away, and the Mavericks flew all the way home to play Houston, all the way back to the West Coast. So that makes it,
it's a tough one.
Pretty darn tough.
That's very interesting that you pointed that out, because there are games that you circle that are schedule games.
You said it
last
week.
I look at
week.
That as a schedule game.
Yeah, and you said that about the first Dallas game last week, Grant. You were absolutely all over that. Hey, we're going to get to Zach in just 1 second, but I was laughing about the Bennett's chicken and ribs because we've got a great story about the chicken and ribs.
Yeah.
We do. Most of it ended up on Grant's phone screen. But anyways, NBA guru Zach, welcome in. Kings win.
What a good win, guys. This was a great win. We said this would be a great win if the Clippers won. I mean, if the Kings won. And I love seeing it. I mean, I got through a lot of points through this game. The rebounding was great. Everyone was rebounding the ball. Sabonis had 20 or something like that. Trey Lyles was getting all these offensive rebounds. Len was getting all these.
20 for the team. 20.
That's crazy. A lot of great offensive rebound. Just a lot of hustle. I just saw the intensity, the tenacity on defense. They were playing great on that end. And we got to give a lot of props to the bench. Trey Lyles was shooting. It was just all over the place, playing good D. And Davion was making his threes. He was aggressive on the ball, pushing the ball. And the thing that I liked about the team is that, you know, we were doing a lot of crisp passing. I just thought we were very in sync today. Just always passing the ball. When we get an offensive rebound, the ball's just coming out really quick, trying to get a three-point shot. That was great. I mean, the bench was – we got to give a lot of props to the bench. We've been scared with the bench this whole, without Monk era. And what we got a bunch from Trey, Davion, and Len was playing good minutes in his plus-minus. So that's great. I think Grant Brand brought up that, you know, the Clippers look tired. They do, but I mean, that's what you get when you have an older team. Like, the two best players today were, 34? I mean, they're three best, I guess, if you count Russell Westbrook, are all, 35?
Yeah.
It's going to happen near the end of the season, so that's the risk they're going to take if they want all older players being their stars. So one big thing without the Kings kind of had not a disadvantage, but Fox, we thought this guy would need 30-8 every game to keep us in the games and just do work. He did not play that well today. What, 6 for 20, 7 assists. I kind of need a little bit more playmaking, but
no turnovers though.
Yeah. His assist turnover was great.
Yeah, for sure. Made his free throws today. So, but in that fourth quarter, we were hoping that Fox would kind of light it up a little bit, but he was missing his middies a little bit. And, they were trying to get his bonus in there. He kind of missed some bunnies at the end, but, overall great game. Keegan Murray played great too. He was aggressive. I think he needs to work on his passing in the offseason, but I love that pass to Sabonis. Even Sabonis is like, "What? Are you serious?" So that was awesome to see.
It's a great play.
But yeah, I mean, these next three games on the road trip, I mean, I'm thinking we got to get one for sure. Two is going to be tough to get in the next three.
Well, if you get two, Brooklyn's got to be an automatic win, and then you can get one of the three. I think, to me, it's all sets up with the Knicks game. I think if you beat the Knicks, you'll go at least 2-2, and if you lose to the Knicks, you're going to go 1-3.
Yeah.
You know who the key is going to be there, Dante DiVincenzo. 31 tonight. He's playing good for them in a little bit of a different role with Randall out.
You know, Onanobi. You know, he's out.
Oh yeah, I think DiVincenzo has, if I'm not mistaken, I checked this a few weeks ago, but he still should be like the third leading 3-point shooter in the league as far as 3-pointers made.
You know, just understand that in the recent meeting 2 weeks ago, Brunson killed Fox. Okay, he was clearly the best player on the floor. That can't happen on Thursday night. Fox has got to hold his own on Thursday night.
Grant and Zach, it's not that type. I don't think it's Brunson specifically. It's that type of guard De'Aaron Fox has trouble with. Any type of guard that's got a little bit of a lower center of gravity and a little bit of strength.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, and Brunson really struggled tonight. It was one of his worst games that he's had in a long time. He won't have another bad game. So you're going to be seeing the A version of Brunson on Thursday night.
They're going to be putting Davion or Keon on them, right?
They can put on whoever they want. They had those guys on Brunson last time, and it didn't help.
But they were switching. Yeah, both sides were.
Yeah, I think, definitely Fox has to probably have it against the Knicks a 30-8 type of game to get that W. So hopefully we can make it happen. It's a good win. And I just think that if the Kings keep playing like this, the tenacity, the aggressiveness on D, the crisp passing, just being in sync, a lot of their offense was coming from transition too. So we got to give them a lot of props. And I mean, I'm just liking the fight that they've given these first two games without Monk.
Yeah, they played well. No question about that. They played well. And now the real challenge comes. Let's face it. I'm not taking anything away from Sacramento, but they had the table set perfectly tonight. You could not have asked for a better scenario than tonight. You know, it's announced that, you know, Kawhi Leonard's not playing, and you got the Clippers, who were just on the East Coast for three games, who were in Charlotte 48 hours ago. You could tell they were not themselves. They were tired, and they were without their best player, and the Kings took advantage of it. And that you want breaks at this time of the year. Just like Ryan pointed out, the Warriors got a big break tonight. You know, that's a brutal situation in a makeup game for the Mavericks to do that. That's brutal. So, you know, the Warriors are going, okay, we got a break here. You know, you look for breaks at this time of the year, but you got to capitalize on them.
No doubt.
Yeah, for sure. And for that person that, every team's going to have breaks and sometimes they're not. And that one guy that said the coach is putting in the starters too long. Right now, you got to kind of do it.
I agree.
So, anyway. Appreciate it, guys, and let's keep playing like this.
Hey, thank you very much, man. Thanks, you take Zach. Care. And I want to tell you about Fosters and Paws, a group of animal advocates. They are very passionate about what they do, and there are puppies available for adoption right now. So
puppies.
If you go to fostersandpaws.org/adopt, that's fostersandpaws.org/adopt, and ask about their available puppies. They also, they work primarily with dogs in shelters, and they do, again, so many great things, and with families and teaching the young people the lifelong benefits of having a pet. They're awesome. That's fostersandpaws.org/adopt, and get in touch with them and adopt yourself a puppy. Kings beat the Clips tonight, and now it's on to a brutal four-game trip. This is brutal in many ways. It's brutal because of the teams you're playing, but it's also brutal because you come back and the league only gives you one day off before you have to play New Orleans. And then guess what happens the very next night? You have to play Phoenix. So what do we talk about? That last Dallas game, the first Dallas game, it was three games in four nights. Okay. Now you're going to be playing a Oklahoma City team, wrapping up a four game trip.
Yep.
Long flight, believe it or not, this time of the year, it's about 3:15, 3:30. One day off, a gigantic game. Gigantic.
Huge.
Could be the biggest game of the year. And then the next night, while the Suns are waiting for you, you play them. That's brutal.
It is brutal. And it's kind of on us for not pointing out that back-to-back is just as important as that two-game series with Dallas, because both of those teams are just as much as in contention. But, hey, the Kings have been put in tough situations before this season. I'm confident they can probably get out of it. Let's bring Randall in on the conversation. Welcome in, Randall.
Well, how are you guys doing?
Speak up, please. Speak up.
Randall? We're going to put Randall back in the audience. Hey, Randall, you were just a little bit low. We couldn't really hear you. Turn the background down and turn the volume up on yourself.
So, you know, again, you're looking at a road trip that, to me, the very first game is going to set up this whole road trip.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you lose against the Knicks, let's just say it. The Celtics are 32-3 at home, okay?
Right.
And unless they have a lot of guys that aren't playing, you got to be realistic. Sacramento's not going to beat the Celtics, okay?
No.
So then you have two games left. You must absolutely beat Brooklyn, who is not chopped liver, but they're, you know, they're 29-47. They've lost 7 of 10. Okay. So let's just assume, I'm doing it for sake of conversation, Rhino. We assume that the Kings are going to beat Brooklyn. So if you beat the Knicks, then you're looking at the worst of 2-2 road trip. And right now, if you told me the Kings would go 2-2 on this trip, I would take it.
Run with it. Absolutely run with it. Yeah. If they can pull that off, you lay it out perfectly. But Grant, everything's been about physicality, right? When the Kings play physical, they're usually in a game. Look at the rest of the schedule. Let's just do it. New York, Boston, as we talked about, Brooklyn, Oklahoma City, New Orleans, Phoenix, Portland. I think there's only at most two games where the Kings are probably the more physical team.
Again, it's each game is almost like a playoff game
right
now.
It is, yeah.
And you just have to approach it that way. You just have to approach it that way. You know, here's the positive about what's coming up. The Kings have played very well on the road for 2 years now.
Yes,
so they're not going to be, you know,
I don't think
like, oh, wow, we're at New York or we're at. No, they're through all of that. And I will just tell you, Fox loves playing at Madison Square Garden.
Yeah.
And he loves playing at the Garden. And I got to believe that he's going to play very well. I think the game on Thursday is going to be one hell of a game. You know, the Knicks are coming off a loss, not only a loss, it's their third straight loss. This is a huge game for the Knicks. The Garden is going to be jumping. All right. It's going to be jumping. It's going to be electric. And the Knicks are going to come out with a lot of energy and a lot of defensive intensity. And the Kings need to be ready to withstand that.
Yeah, I don't know if the Kings can. So that's a good question. Can they? They withstood the Clippers tonight, giving them a couple of runs, right? But the Clippers weren't really that physical. Can the Kings withstand a run against the Knicks and then be able to still come back? I don't know if they have that firepower. And for whatever reason, New York, it seems like it's a problem for them. Whenever they play that early game, 4 o'clock, it's just never.
Yeah, and you're not going to be acclimated to the time difference yet. You know, so, you know, I'm not trying to make excuses before the game starts. I'm just trying to let everybody, we know how good the Knicks are. The Knicks just went in and beat, you know, Sacramento 2 weeks ago. All right. But they don't have the same roster. They got a couple guys that are out of the run. We'll see. You know, it's all about Jalen Brunson. Like Jalen Brunson did not play well tonight and the Knicks lost. When Jalen Brunson is Jalen Brunson, the Knicks are normally in all these games. They almost beat Oklahoma City the other night and they got screwed on a bad call they had to go play Miami. So that should tell you something.
Yeah, they're a good team. It's just on a lull. And so the Kings need to, they can't go in there sleepy. Let's just say that. And I don't think Coach Brown has this group sleepy. They seem pretty actually relaxed to me, Grant.
As funny as that Gabe says, Clippers look pathetic. Hard game to judge. We're at the point of who wants it more. Listen, I don't think the Clippers look pathetic. I think this is one of their schedule games. This is a brutal schedule to be on the East Coast for three games and then have one day off and play Sacramento without Kawhi Leonard. I mean, it is what it is. Every team faces this. We've already gone over it, okay? Every team faces it. I would still think the Clippers would beat Sacramento in a series 4-2 with a healthy team. I don't think the Kings would beat the Clippers more than two games. I think it would be a six-game series or less if the Clippers were healthy.
Mm. Yeah, I don't disagree with that with the current state of the Kings. But yeah, look at the best games the Kings have played with the Clippers in the last two seasons, and look at how many points the Clippers have scored. Their score tonight, 95, says attrition all over it.
Yeah, let's get to Andy. Andy, go ahead. You're on with Grant and Rhino.
Hey, what's up, you guys? Can you guys hear me?
Yep. How are you?
Nice. First off, I just want to say thanks to both you guys. I'm a lifelong Kings fan, and I feel like you guys don't get enough credit for what you guys do. I mean,
Thank you.
I know sometimes we complain about our players and that they don't show up to work on some of these bad losses, but you guys always show up to work. You know, good game, bad game, and I just want to say I appreciate it, first off.
Well, thank you. We're doing it for people like you and all the great fans of this franchise, not only in Northern California, but around the world. So we greatly appreciate your support. Thank you.
And I wanted to ask both of you guys, what do you guys think of De'Aaron Fox? I want to say the last 6 to 8 weeks, I just feel like I don't want to be prisoner of the moment, but I don't know if he's still battling through injuries. Maybe it's just that time in the season where, you know, it's getting tough because they played so many games, but I feel like every single game I watch, it's 6 for 20, 5 for 18. It's very inefficient. And I feel like the shots he would make last year are not falling for him this year. And I'm wondering if you guys think he's just in a slump or if he might be dealing with some type of injury or something like that.
I think it's been the story of the whole season with him. I just think that the De'Aaron Fox that we saw last year was a better version. And I keep on waiting for him to be that guy that we saw, particularly in the playoffs against the Warriors. And I've only seen that in flashes where they're, and I haven't seen it with consistency. So I am concerned. Could it be an injury? It could be, but he's not on the injury report. Could it be something else? It could be. I can't quite put my finger on it, but I would agree with you.
So we haven't gotten, I've said this many times, clear reporting on anything that may be disconnect or amok between the Kings and De'Aaron Fox. But here's what I know based off of what I have seen, not with the team, but from afar and following this team. This is what my gut tells me. My gut tells me that De'Aaron Fox possibly does not agree with maybe some of the things he is being asked to do and or sacrifice to take the team to the next level, like playing off of the ball, probably not his favorite thing to do. And there's, to me, this game of cat and mouse between him and Mike Brown all year, whether it be in the media or whether it be directly. You know, Mike Brown makes it a very big point to say, if you have two on you, spray the ball. Well, does that apply to the reigning clutch player of the year? That's why I'm just kind of, that's my take on it. We'll see after the season comes out, but I know
it's a good question, bit. Andy.
Great question.
Yeah, I appreciate you guys. I'm sure there's some other callers, so I don't want to keep you guys too long. But again, I appreciate you guys letting me on, and I'm glad we got the W tonight.
Yes, sir.
Thank you, Andy. Appreciate you joining us, all right? And call again. We do appreciate that. I think you bring up a good point, Ryan. I mean, we don't have any clear-cut facts to back that up. We're speculating, but I agree with you. I think that there's a lot of truth to that. I really do. I think there is something going on there. New Works Plumbing, for your plumbing needs and repairs, they've got a fix for you. Go to sackserviceplumbing.com or call the number on your screen. And remember, they're available around the clock 24/7 for all of your plumbing needs. That's sackserviceplumbing.com or the number on your screen. New Works Plumbing, they've got a fix for you.
Napes, what do you say we give Randall another? You think Randall's got it figured out? I think he's got it figured out. What do you think?
No.
What? No, you don't think Randall's got it figured out?
No, that's not Randall. You'll see in a second. Go ahead, put him on, and then I'll take him right off.
Ah, no Randall.
No, Bucky. That's not that. That's Teddy. That's who that is. Hey, Bucky.
Oh, troll. Teddy troll. What's up, my brother?
That's Teddy the moron. What's up there?
This is Teddy. Teddy.
Yeah, okay, Teddy's got a bigger brain in it than the real Teddy. All right, what can we do here?
Hey guys,
how are you, buddy?
I'm fine. How would I be in 7 a.m.? What do you think?
Yeah, I see the light behind you. The sun's coming up in beautiful Belgrade, Serbia. Yeah, I know you're good. Absolutely.
Could smell Definitely. The burgers cooking. Yeah.
No. This time, no burgers.
When I saw Vladi in August in Montenegro, he took me out for a vintage Serbian breakfast. And it was actually very good. And I can't remember what the hell it was, but it was really good. He's like, oh, yeah, cool. Everybody eats this here in Serbia for breakfast. And I'm like, okay, you know, I'll try it. It was good.
Great. It was cereal.
So no, it wasn't cereal. It was.
I'm joking.
No, but you know what? It was. I don't know. I'll ask Vladi and I'll pass it along to you. Yeah. So what's going on, Bucky?
Well, nothing new. We win great games against great teams.
Hello, you guys.
Hey, hello, Holy Moly, Jim Boboli.
Holy Moly, Jim Boboli. Well,
have a great day at school.
Thanks.
Yeah.
So what do you say about Grant Rhino, do you see some improvements in last maybe 10-15 days about the play, about the game? I mean, I see something very different. You see Keegan Murray's finally figuring out how to enter hard into the paint, and it's pay off. Also, Mike Brown did the great thing, finally, putting Len more minutes So what do you say about you know, old school basketball with the size, with the centers, with everything? So I think also it pays off, because they think about what to do with when Len is in the game. So
okay, well let me answer the question this way. You said 10 games, right? The last 10 games.
Maybe
they're 6-4 in their last 10 games.
Yeah,
one of the games I throw out the window, because I think it was just a completely ridiculous schedule game.
You can't throw that out the window. Jerry Reynolds even said it.
I don't really care. I'm throwing it out the window. I'm throwing it out the window. I'm sorry. I don't give a damn what you are. I don't care what Jerry Reynolds says. The game against Dallas, the first game, I'm throwing out the window. Okay? There are five games every year that I throw out the window, whether they win or lose, that are schedule games. That was the schedule game. It's not in my mind.
Hey, you've been doing this a long time. Fair enough.
Well, I'm just saying, Jerry's been doing it a long time too, and we disagree. It's fine to disagree. I'm telling you, Grant Napier is not including the first Dallas game because I think it was a completely unfair scheduling game. So I'm just like you mentioned tonight, and you did it, you were spot on. The Mavs game tonight in San Francisco is one of those games that it's unfair. It's a brutal, brutal situation to fly 3 hours to play a makeup game based on the fact that they were just in Houston and now have to go back to Dallas. You're spot on. There are games like that, and it's part of the NBA schedule, and you just, you know what, you take it for what it is. I think the Kings, and Ryan's been pointing this out before I have, okay, he thinks the Kings' style of play, the way they're playing now, is better because it's more conducive to winning when you aren't shooting the ball well. I don't want to put words in your mouth, Ryan.
Yeah,
but
no,
what have we said coming? What do we say almost every time, Baki and Ryan? When the Kings don't make the threes, they don't win. Well, they didn't shoot the ball well from three tonight, and they won. Why? Because they finally are playing defense. Would you agree with that, Ryan? That's what you've been saying for weeks now.
They're able to do more defensively. They beat the Clippers to the Clippers spots tonight, and that's what really helped them out.
I saw tonight a big adjustments for this game. So Clippers didn't have a chance. If you ask me, it's a great tactical things from the staff. If you ask me. So Mike Brown is tonight the winner.
What did he do specifically, Baki? Because I'm just curious. Well, I had a couple of things written down that I had questions about.
Okay. I already mentioned putting Len more minutes, consecutive minutes. So he made so many difficulty into the Clippers game. So Clippers offense was thinking about what to do in the paint. So if you take the statistics, if you have statistics, take a look into the Clippers points into the paint. They are awful in the first two quarters.
Yeah, the Kings won it 46-40. I don't have the first two quarters in front of me, but you're correct. They had a big advantage, the Kings.
Yeah, but we crushed the game in first half. So if you take, you can go later. Take a look into the pain points into the first half, and you will get it where we won the game. So for me, this is the first time I say it in those.
Well, Baki,
how many? 70 games that Mike Brown did this something great tonight.
For sure. I will tell both of you, Grant, and I'll let you guys respond. This is where I think the game was won. It was in the second quarter. The Kings go defensively. This is how the Kings go. They go stop, 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 give up a three, stop, 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 stop. Same span. The Kings go 3-3-3-3, free throws, 3-2-2. So it's like they get that one run where they're going to have like a 2 or 3 minute opportunity to kind of get their teeth in. And they did tonight.
You know what? And that's a great observation, because you don't always win the game in the final few minutes of a fourth. Sometimes you win the game in the first quarter or the second quarter. We pointed that out, you know, many times. That's been the case many times. I mean,
it's how they won last game against Utah. Yeah.
And it was and the Dallas game where the Kings got 7 of 8 stops and only made one basket.
Yes.
Right?
Absolutely.
They stopped Dallas on 7 of 8 possessions earlier in the game, and they only scored one basket And you could point to that stretch and go, that's where the Kings really should have widened the lead.
And two more things. What do you say? Remember last time I told you that Golden State is gonna put very difficult for the Dallas. So they now are losing the tiebreak, right?
You have to understand something. We need to point this out. A lot of people have the wrong information. The first tiebreaker is head-to-head. It's 2-2.
Okay.
If Dallas wins their division, regardless of the fact that they're not in Sacramento's division, that would be the second. Okay. And right now they're tied with New Orleans. So if the Mavericks win the division, that would be the second tiebreaker. If that doesn't play, then it's your conference record.
Conference. Okay. Yeah.
If that's the same, then it goes your record among the playoff teams, your combined record against the winning team. So, you know, it normally never goes to that, but understand if the Mavericks win their division, that would be the second tiebreaker, even though, you know, the Kings aren't in that division. That would be the second tiebreaker. And then the third is
how do you like
conference winning percentage in your conference.
Yeah. And how do you like, just for info, how do you like our tiebreaker against all those top 10 teams? Because I think we have it against almost everybody.
It doesn't matter.
No.
It doesn't matter. But I just wanna say again, if you remember, I just wanna remind you that we talked about it a long time ago, that we are playing great basketball against those teams. So maybe Kings like those situations when the backs are against the wall. So
yeah, but it matters the tiebreaker doesn't come into play. Sorry, Grant, go ahead.
But he knows that. No, he said that. But, you know, you also have to look at Baki. For instance, a lot of people go, gee, the Kings were really good this year against Denver. They beat them 3 out of 4 times. The Nuggets were only healthy for one game, and that's the game that they beat Sacramento handily. Two of the games are without Jamal Murray. One of the games was without Murray and Gordon. I mean, so you got to be careful when you make those blanket statements about, well, gee, the Kings won the tiebreaker. Okay, you know what? If the Kings played New Orleans without Brandon Ingram, that's not the same team. You know, like New Orleans, there are a lot of variables that factor into this. Like we could say, gee, you know what? The Kings lost to Houston 3 times this year. Yeah, they did. They were 0-3. But guess what? Two of those games were without De'Aaron Fox. That makes a big difference. So there's always, you got to really analyze all of these things.
No, of course, you're right, 100%. But I only want to make a point that our basketball, you can watch the greatness of our basketball only when you see the games against those great teams, because we blew it against those awful teams. So what would have happened if we won only 3-4 games against those awful teams? Where would we be? We would be battling for the number 2-3, maybe. I don't
maybe.
Know.
Maybe. But you know what? It is what it is. I mean, to me, there's only one great team in the NBA this year, and the Kings are going to see them on Friday night, and that's the Celtics. And the Celtics came into Sacramento without their best player, and they embarrassed Sacramento.
They embarrassed them.
Okay. To me, this year, I'm not going by last year. I'm going this year, there's only one great team. Now, that doesn't mean they're going to win the championship, but I think we could just sit here and say they're going to be the clear-cut favorites, right, guys? I mean, they're going to be the clear-cut favorites to win the championship this year. But other than that, there are, what, 5, 6, 7 teams that could win it, right?
So it's if the Kings had their team last year, this year it'd be wide open. There'd be a lot more excitement. It's going to be fun. And I mean, hell, the Kings could possibly be one of those teams. We'll see.
Bob. They could be. I mean, I would be shocked if they were.
I agree.
But I mean, they could be. Listen, here's the deal. You can't be one of those teams if you don't get into the playoffs. And the first thing the Kings need to do is make the playoffs. And this road trip is going to go a long way in determining where they're going to be, whether they're going to be 6, 7, or 8. This road trip is a defining, it's a season. Regular season defining road trip. This road trip that starts Thursday night in New York.
Yes, it is. Hey, Baki, I need one more holy moly Jim Bob Bully from your daughter.
Holy moly, Jimba Bowley.
We love that.
Love it.
Great, love it. Guys. Hey, you all have a great day, okay?
School.
Sorry, care, sorry. Can you repeat? Can you repeat?
I was just
have
saying.
Have a great day.
Have a great day.
Oh, thank you, Grant. Thanks. Thank you. Thank you, Rhino.
I want to sleep, but I can't.
Well,
that's great.
Bye.
See ya.
Whether,
bye, you guys.
Whether she likes it or not.
Win.
Yes.
Yeah. Next, whether whether she likes it or not, she's going to be up with us while this show's still on. Because
Holy Jimba Bowley.
Yeah. Yeah. We've got the Holy Moly Jimba Bowley drop.
Oh, I love it. Absolutely awesome. Hey, I want to tell you about Lazona Development. If you go to CalusaSunrise.com and check out Sunrise Landing and their various model 6 to choose from, various lot sizes. No Melrose, no Homeowners. Great access to the major arteries like I-5. And Highway 20, again, that is Calusa. Yes, beautiful place. Sunrise Landing. Just go to CalusaSunrise.com and check it out for yourself. That's CalusaSunrise.com and Sunrise Landing from Blazona Development. Yeah, that's great. You know, she rivals Jerry Rhino with that Holy Moly Jim Bob Holy. I got to say, she's right up there, you know?
Here, give me... Give me a call really quick. Like, put them in the book and send them to the line. All right, you ready?
Put it in the books and send them to the line. Oh, boy.
Holy moly, Jimba Bowley.
Yeah, yeah, I think it works. I think, you know, you guys might have a little chemistry.
I like that. That's good.
I like it.
Hey, boys and girls, ladies and gentlemen, my buddy Ryan, with his new sophisticated equipment. See what he can do on the fly. That's big time. I love it.
It's fun. It's our equipment, and we have a fun time here on If You Don't Like That. So.
The technological wizard, Mr. Ryan in Sacktown.
Well, right, Mr. Napier, I think we know that's a heavy assist to one haunted horse, which we still don't know what a haunted horse is, but no. Chris in Hedstrom Bacon, you guys.
But we do know this. The guy knows what the hell he's talking about when
yes,
it comes
he
to
does.
Audio video.
Yes, he does.
You know?
Too bad he's not good doing them. I mean, he's good making them, but just in front of the camera, stay away, Chris. Just stay away.
Oh, man. All right, so coming up next, the Knickerbockers at the Garden. Losers of three straight, coming off a loss tonight against Miami. And don't you agree that this just sets up the table? This first game, I don't want to put too much emphasis normally on a first game of a trip, but you and I have talked about this in the past. And it's this one, though. Wow. Because you got Oklahoma City on the back end and you got Boston on a back-to-back. And you're just trying somehow to figure out how to go 2-2 in this trip. I don't see you going 2-2 in this trip if you lose to the Knicks.
Well, I think Mike Brown would be silly if he's like, hey, guys, we're going to go 4-0. It's like pick and choose your spots. Obviously, you're going to play to be competitive and win, but you know what you're walking into. So I have a question for you. You're a New Yorker. What was it like when the Kings came to town? Was it like, oh, we can't give away the tickets?
No, it depends. When the Kings were really good, it was the toughest ticket of the year.
Well, yeah, I bet. Like, you know, two.
They were. When the Kings came to town, when they were good in the early 2000s, they were all over the tabloids, all over the talk shows. And it was a huge, huge deal, particularly more against the Nets than the Knicks, because the Nets were really good back then.
Yeah.
And a lot of the writers and, you know, in the tabloids, the scribes thought that we were looking at an NBA Finals preview, and we almost were.
Should have.
But here's the deal. The East Coast bias, when you are a team like Sacramento, you make or break how people perceive you very often in a year based on how you play at Madison Square Garden, because people believe what they read, and the tabloids will give you credit if you go in there and play well, and conversely, they'll call you clowns and stuff if you get blown out.
Right.
So that was always, that's a very good question. That was always a very important game for, you know, we always talk about, gee, the Kings don't get any respect, the Kings don't get any credit, gee, they don't get talked about on TV. Well, if you went in and beat the Knicks real badly, they kind of put you on the map more. It was a very big game.
Very interesting. A big game for the Kings, whether they were good or not, because it's an opportunity to get on the map. Because, yeah. I mean, even the Kings the last 2 years, Grant, I don't watch SportsCenter much, but when I've watched, it's like the late highlights are to the end, even though they were a good team. So, East Coast.
Yep. I would just say this about the Knicks game. It is going to be one of those games that when you look back at these – now seven games remaining, you might go, gee, you know what? That game at Madison Square Garden as to why the Kings are the sixth seed. And if they lose that game, you might be saying, you know what? They lost that tight game in New York. Boy, because that just sets up, again, that sets up this road trip, Ryan. It sets up this road trip. It really does.
Yeah, and it also sets up for a 2.5-3 hour discussion if you include a lot of Kings fans in it, because then the discussion turns to, well, that game shouldn't be that important. You should have won. You know what I mean? But yes, this game absolutely is the tone setter. Go
109-95. The Kings get a huge W and the beam is lit in Sacktown tonight.
Boom! Have a great night and...
Molly Jimba Bowling.
Do we want to get to Zach here or no?
Oh, do we got Zach? Yeah, absolutely.
All right, bring him on.
Zach, what are you doing tonight? Light the beam. Thank you for waiting.
Hey, what's up, guys? Hey, first of all, Rocky, that was perfect with the teddy bear if you're still listening. That was funny. Anyways, Ryan, that whole comment that you made about... obviously, we don't know for sure.
Yeah.
Is there some sort of disconnect, you know, with between Brown and Fox? Because if that's it, then that's probably not good moving forward.
Hey, look, I am not reporting that. It has not been substantiated. I am speculating based off of the information that we all have in front of us. I'm not going off of anything that's sourced or anything of that nature. But it's just how I feel. And if you look at it, I mean, the puzzle pieces kind of fit, right, Zach?
I mean, I'll take your word for it, definitely. I mean, I haven't, like, looked at, like, it that closely. I mean, maybe you're watching certain, like, body language between him and coach whenever they go to, like, commercial or whatever.
Right? No, I'm not. That's that's, like, the last thing I'm looking at. I'm looking at things more like the sets that they're running. I'm looking at the comments that they're making about the offense. It's those things that just yep. What this team is supposed to be good at, how they go directly against some of the things, you know, De'Aaron is either doing or not doing. That's the disconnect.
Should Fox really be playing off the ball? Because I don't know if I like it, because he's pretty much a pure point guard. He's not like a combo guard, really. He's not like a CJ McCollum. I'm just throwing that for example.
Should he be playing off the ball?
I just don't know if I really like it.
I mean, I can give you my opinion. I can tell you De'Aaron Fox got to the NBA playing with the ball. So my guess would be you probably want to keep it in his hands. But if the coaches have seen something different in practice than we don't see, which is why they're putting him off ball, then I defer to them, obviously.
Because what's interesting is if you go back to the very beginning of the season, and you remember that the Lakers or the Kings played the Lakers. I think it was like game three of the season. That's a game when Fox injured his ankle.
Mm-hmm.
If you were to go rewatch that game, you would watch Fox. He literally played almost identically to how he played in the playoffs before he broke his finger.
Mm.
And since then, like, you know, up until like the last 6-7 weeks, he was pretty solid. But then obviously in his last 6-7 weeks, just very like up and down. But I mean, I don't know, like, if it's injury or like what you said, but we just need some sort of reporting from the media, which would
be nice. I've maintained for a long time, and Grant, I have a question for you after this. I've maintained for a long time that after the season, I really look forward to what's going to come out. But Grant, you said De'Aaron Fox has not been consistent enough this season. Are we looking too much at the times he's been great and putting that on a pedestal and dismissing the times that he's not been as consistent? Because what Zach just said was, I remember 6-7 weeks where he hasn't been playing well, but before that he played really well. And that only week he's talking about is right after the All-Star break.
There have been more than one sequence of the year where I didn't think he was playing well. All right. In January, I thought he was extremely lethargic during those 3 weeks when he blew up the media. Body language not good. We got a lot of complaints on our shows. Gee, what's wrong with Fox? What's wrong with Fox? What's wrong with Fox? And I thought that when he was not named to the All-Star team, he played very well leading up to the All-Star break and right after the break. I think he's regressed a little bit. And I guess for me, I expect more from him because I've seen it. And I think if you want to get to where Shai Gilgeous-Alexander and Brunson is in the East and these other, you know, elite point guards, you can't have lulls in your game because it's like a NFL quarterback having lulls. It's the most important position on the floor. And the Kings feel like they've got one of the best in the league. And I felt like going into this season, they did too, based on how I saw him play last year, particularly in the second half of the season and in the playoffs against a generational talent like Steph Curry. I thought Fox was the best player on the floor until he broke his finger. I thought he was the best player on the floor. And I'm saying, wow, the Kings finally have a superstar at a guard position. And I haven't seen that this year other than spurts. And so it makes me wonder, just like you, is there a disconnect with the coach? Is there something going on off the court that's affecting him on the court?
You don't think
he have an injury that he's not really, you know, talking much about that's affecting his play? So all of these things have popped into my mind.
Sure.
You don't think it's like conditioning? Because I wouldn't think that
conditioning. No, you can't have, you can't play the way he plays and have a conditioning problem. It's impossible.
No,
I mean, I agree with that. I was just, I mean, that was like just thrown out there.
Guys, I would just pose this question to you. Look, De'Aaron Fox, the bottom line is he's an isolation point guard. If you have to put him into a category, whether he's a distributor and get his guys involved and he's also a scorer, or if he's an isolation guy, he's with the Hardens. He's with those guys. And quite frankly, isolation basketball does not go anything with what the Kings are trying to run now. So I guess that's where I come back to, Zach. That's just an element in where I say something is disconnected.
It's got to get connected here, you know, down the stretch. That's for sure. You got some huge games coming up that, let's face it, I think the Kings are going to be underdogs in three of these four road games.
Definitely. And the thing is that, like, if they finish as a sixth seed, that gives them like 6-7 days of rest before the
playoffs. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Good point. Good critical. Point.
Yep.
That's huge. A great Thanks, point. Zach. We haven't said that.
Appreciate it. Yeah, that's a very good point. I mean, that's another thing about being a sixth seed. You get that extra rest.
Wonderful.
And
point.
Oh boy, that would be huge. Hey, I want to tell you about Gold Country Veterinary and Hospital, Auburn, also serving the foothills, of course, Roseville and the greater Sacramento area. Full service veterinary medicine, dentistry, surgery, and wellness care. They are dedicated to urgent care. Bottom line, when your pet needs to be seen, they are available. They have advanced internal medicine, full surgical care. They have the most modern technology, and they're very proud of their pain management protocols. So when your pet needs a vet, Gold Country Veterinary and Hospital will be there for you. They are awesome. That's Gold Country Veterinary and Hospital. Well, a really big win for the Sacramento Kings. And now it's a long flight to New York and take on the next Thursday. Any final thoughts?
You know what? Good night for the Kings. The positives outweighed the negatives. Don't look too much into the De'Aaron Fox comments, but I stand by those. And I don't mind being one of the only people in town saying there is a disconnect, in my opinion.
I don't necessarily disagree with you. I think you make some very good points. And there's something going on, that's for sure. You can't just ignore it. There is something, that's for sure. Don't forget, tomorrow, right here, on If You Don't Like That, Jerry Reynolds at 4 o'clock. That's tomorrow. Kings win. They beat the Clippers. 7 games left, right on the heels of the Mavericks, the Pelicans. We're going down to the wire here in Sacramento. So long, everybody.